Welcome to show number 66 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully everyone is doing very, very well out there. Got lots to talk about today. Not going to be one of your more traditional shows where we talk about products. I think I'm going to throw that out the window. We will talk about one product, but it came out about 30 years ago. I got a Facebook comment wanting to talk about some vintage cards, and I actually put up, and my brother has put up, some 50s, 1950s Topps baseball sets, and I put up 1970 and 71 and tried to include, you know, more than just the checklist, some little tidbits about cards. And I found an interesting review actually on eBay about 1971 Topps. So I wanted to talk about that and share that with you. And so we'll talk about some old baseball cards today. We've got some just some bits of news that we posted on the fan forum. I guess I posted this on October 30th, so about a week ago. We're going to talk about our Panini certified hockey break that we did just about a week ago, I guess. So we'll talk about that. The Lakers getting their championship rings. Obviously, this was right when the NBA season started when I put that up. So we'll talk a little bit about the Lakers and probably more so about the early NBA season. And we'll talk about the Giants winning the World Series, since most of you know that I'm a Giants fan. And it just so happens my favorite baseball team and my favorite football team have the same colors. So it inspired the look of the site and stuff. I wanted to use orange and black. I don't think that gets used a lot on websites and things like that. And since we weren't selling anything on the website, you know, orange and black kind of works pretty good. So wanted to talk about the Giants winning the World Series. My brother actually made it to the World Series parade. So if you check out the Insider Hobbies tips, he has like about a dozen photos. He actually saw Rudy Gay, basketball player for the Memphis Grizzlies, walking the streets too, and another player that plays for the Grizzlies. I guess they were in town playing the Golden State Warriors on the same day. Maybe he had trouble driving somewhere to get somewhere to eat or something, because apparently there were a lot of people in San Francisco. If you saw the photos or any of the coverage, there was a lot of people jammed into the tight quarters that is San Francisco. So we'll talk about that. We'll also have our question of the day, which we polled some fan forum members. You know, other than Bryce Harper and Aroldis Chapman, you know, the 2011 baseball rookie prospect that I have faith in is. And so we'll poll, you know, everybody, you know, for me at least, for the most part, I've heard of Bryce Harper and Aroldis Chapman and, you know, by now Buster Posey, since he just won a World Series. And, you know, Steven Strasburg, despite being injured, is still very collected. And Jason Hayward had a fine season, and he has a very athletic body and looks like he'll be a tremendous player for the Atlanta Braves. Starlin Castro, also, we've talked about on this show as well. So it's kind of our pre-preview prospect show. So we'll get some ideas here, and then as the baseball, I mean, before we know it, the springtime will be here, or the early springtime will be here, and we'll be talking about baseball starting again. So we'll get a heads up on some rookies that you might want to keep an eye out on the winter time. We're also going to talk about game used jerseys. This was from an email I got. I wish I had it right in front of me. It's actually from a fan forum member. He's going to know who he is. I'll probably bring it up for this segment, but pointed me to some auctions, since we talked about Just Jerseys Baseball on last week's show. He brought up that there's a company that did some grab bags, and they actually certify a lot of jerseys for the NBA and hockey, and they might do baseball. I'm not 100% sure if they do or not, but baseball might have their own thing. But it's a site I've checked out before, but apparently they have grab bags. So we'll talk about that, some game-used jerseys. We'll probably throw a lot of this stuff. I'm not sure if we'll have segments for all this. It's going to be all kind of mixed together. We're going to talk about contests, and I might as well get to that right now. Limited basketball. Head on over to our forum. We're having a contest. If you listen to this before 6 p.m. Pacific time on Monday, November 8th, you have a chance to enter to win a whole box. So we're going to raffle. Usually we do packs, or we pick teams and things like that. This time, since it's just like kind of a one pack box, I thought about giving away each card, having, since there's seven cards, doing doing 7 random winners for that, but I was like, we just give away the whole box. Why not? It's courtesy of Panini America. They've been helping us out and supporting us and giving us boxes for you guys to take a look at for the most part. You know, I'm pretty familiar with the products just on a visual level, but maybe, you know, since you haven't spent 3 hours putting up the pictures and the checklist and things like that, maybe you're not as familiar. So hopefully you're able to check out Limited Basketball and maybe some of the new rookies. I know Prestige was kind of the only or one of the only basketball products on the market for this season at least. And so it's nice to have a new product, and we've got it to open. So you have a chance to win Monday, November 8th. My brother's going to open that during Monday Night Football and random off the winner all at the same time. So you'll be able to watch that hopefully Monday night. Sometimes YouTube's a little slow, but usually it goes. My brother has a really nice computer, so hopefully it goes pretty quick. So we'll have that to look forward to. That's not it. We actually have 6 boxes we're going to do over the course of the week or so. We have 2010 Crown Royale football from courtesy of Panini America. We also have Score Hockey, 2010-11 Score Hockey. That's also courtesy of Panini America. So 3 boxes from them. And then we also have 3 baseball boxes. So not to leave baseball in the cold, these are courtesy of our fan forum member, Steel Second. Check out the website, www.fsfuk.co.uk. There's a link on in the contest thread and also on the YouTube videos and things like that. So, but it's Steel Second. It's a new project with a couple friends, I believe, and they're supporting us, getting the word out about their website by throwing down on some really nice boxes. 2010 Bowman Chrome Baseball, 2010 Topps Chrome Football, and we've got 2010 Topps Update Baseball. So 2 of the newest baseball releases, and we've got a really new Topps release with their Topps Chrome Football. So I'm really excited. We have all 3 of those. I just put the order in for those, and I should be getting those next week. So those actually might happen a week from now, but this coming week we'll probably do everything from Panini, since they send it to us right when it comes out and this stuff's kind of hot. We'll try to do the contest as quick as we can, give maybe 2 or 3 days to enter. So keep an eye on, once you listen to this show, if you're listening until the week it comes out, keep an eye on the fan forum. And if you're not a member, I'm not sure why you haven't signed up yet, sportscardshow@gmail.com. So you can check that out. Another thing I wanted to mention to you is that we're actually going to have a new podcast. I put new, I guess. I'm going to be very loosely associated with it. Just to give you a very, very brief background on it, Chris from the Football Card Podcast contacted me, I guess it was several weeks ago or almost maybe 2 months ago, and we were talking about starting a new project. He wanted to maybe change what he was doing at Football Card Podcast, and we kind of jumbled around some ideas and kind of went back and forth on the phone and the email, so we really thought about it a lot, and Chris really thought, hey, how about a submission thing where anybody can submit, they can say really anything they want. Chris is going to be a regular contributor, so if you're a fan of his work at Football Card Podcast, you're still going to be able to find things from him. It's going to be called Sports Card Focus, and it'll have its own little separate website, nothing particularly special, especially right in the beginning as we just get going, and I've got my hands full with what we're doing at Sports Card Radio, but I'll kind of moderate the whole thing. We're going to have, I have a couple people, Chris for sure, I have another blogger, sportscarduncensored.com. He actually already sent me something, so I'm not going to tease it too much, but he sent me a great little piece, so we'll play that. I wanted it actually this week, but got set back. I'll talk about why toward the end of the show, but got set back this last week, but I'm going to get that out this week, so look forward to that, and I am looking for submissions. I'll have a separate email and things like that, but sportscardshow@gmail.com. A couple of you have already emailed me through the forum. I put a post up in our fan forum about it as well, so you can can talk to me. I'm looking for audio submissions. It's very easy to record audio as long as you have a computer that's made in the last 10 years or so, or is running Windows XP, or if you have a Macintosh, I know they're very, very capable of doing those kind of things. If you have any questions, you can contact me. If you're not into, you know, talking into a mic or having something like that, I'm going to have a call-in line eventually. I'm going to get like a Magic Jack or something. We're going to have a phone-in line, both for this show. It'll kind of double for this show and Sports Card Focus. So you'll be able to call in. I'll try to get as long as answering machine as possible. The longest I saw just browsing was like 2-minute message. I'll try to get one a little bit longer than that so you can leave a lengthy message. Those can be played here or on Sports Card Focus, and more on that to come. So even more ways for you to interact, not only with Sports Card Radio, but with some of the other podcasts. If you have any opinions, it can be a one-time thing. You can be a regular contributor, Sports Card Focus. It's up to you. You can test it out and see how you like it. It's no big deal. Hopefully, I'm definitely going to get hopefully a base of regular contributors, so you can kind of look forward to some things from Sports Card Uncensored, some things from the Football Card Podcast, and I'm working on getting some other people. My brother will hopefully do something maybe with fantasy sports or whatever he feels like doing. Maybe we'll get my brother on board to do a little, 5-10 minute segment, or however long you feel like doing it. So I'm really excited about that. So you'll have even more choices to listen to podcasts. And, you know, obviously there's other podcasts, CardCornerClub.net's out there, and they're doing a good job. And I noticed that the Card Tweet, that's his Twitter handle, but I think it's called Superfractor, the Card Podcast. I noticed that he had one up just a couple weeks ago. So it looks like they are maybe getting back into the swing of things as well. So you should have plenty of choices in terms of audio sports cards as well. I think I've prefaced everything that I wanted to talk about in the show. Last week was a very difficult week, so we'll talk very briefly at the end of the show. I had a friend actually pass away last week, and so it took everybody, but especially me, by surprise. So I learned a lot about, I put on the fan forum, life and friendship, and so we'll talk about those kind of things, and lots more right after this. And we are back. Time to, I don't know what the heck we're going to talk about, but we're going to talk about, actually, I know exactly what we're going to talk about. I have it all written down, thankfully. Otherwise, I probably would forget about most of this stuff. I would definitely not forget about the generosity that Panini has showed us just in the last, it's couple weeks. I mean, literally just hobby street value, about over $500 worth of boxes to open and give away. So I know our fan forums members have been getting involved. So if you kind of listen to the show on the outside, I know we have lots of people that I listen to a lot of podcasts myself and never contribute, but think very highly of the show and the program, and it's huge entertainment. Hopefully you think that way, or hopefully I have listeners like that. If you want to get involved, head on over to sportscardradio.com and find the fan forum. That's where we do most of the contests. It's just easy for us to kind of keep it out in front and kind of transparent, make sure everybody knows that they're getting a shot at getting some free cards, and we even ship them to you for free. So if you're worried about that, I shipped a package to the United Kingdom last week, so I'll ship them anywhere. I don't care where you live, I'll ship them to you. It's no big deal. Actually, it's fairly affordable, to be honest with you. I mean, if everybody lived overseas, I'd be broke. But you know, every once in a while to send something overseas, it's not very much money at all. So, very excited. And with Certified Hockey, we got some new members in there. I noticed some members from Canada and stuff like that. As I'm going through approving members, the only thing I can see is what IP. I can see IP address information, and most anybody can access that information, and I just do it for spamming control and things like that. People from Singapore, not to put a downer on any of those countries, but a lot of Middle Eastern countries and things like that are very ripe for scammers. So typically, if you're from that country, you must email me before you're approved. But it's fairly simple. If you're from the U.S., you pretty much get automatically approved. So if you want to spam your website, just do it from the U.S. and you'll have an easier way in. But we'll talk about Certified Hockey. Very excited. I didn't know any of the players in there. So what we did was a contest where we had a bunch of fan forums. They just picked a player and they kind of went either they knew anything. But we had one of our fan forum members that like played with one of the guys that was in the set or had played in the NHL. So that was pretty cool. We had some members that had met some people, so that was cool. So we got some new people involved. We pulled a Sidney Crosby dual jersey with another player. There was a Paul Stastny, I think that's how you say his name, on card autograph that was actually a really nice signature. So nice cards in there, nice looking certified. To just do my sponsor plug here, and this is somewhat, I guess, if you send me $500 worth of boxes, there's no way to have an unbiased opinion. However, taking a look at the early releases, I think for hockey, I was going to talk about Artifacts Hockey, but after taking a look at the checklist, in Certified Hockey, you know, you got the rookies, I guess Taylor Hall and Tyler Seguin, I think, are the big names that kind of pump out. I think there's like two or three other guys that are selling for decent money. I guess they're probably the top picks, or they went to the top teams or whatever. And I looked in Artifacts Hockey, and I didn't really see them in there. I think there's some redemption cards in there, but in terms of the top guys, you're not going to find them in Artifacts. So, you know, for what it's worth, I guess, you know, if I was just a casual guy, you know, like basketball cards, man, you know, yeah, you could go back and save some money and buy some 09, 010 basketball. And yeah, they have Blake Griffin in there, Tyreek's in there, there's Brandon Jennings in there. There's some other rookies that'll merge this season in the NBA. But it's always fun. We're going to do a limited basketball pop. You know, Prestige is like $80 a box. But if I was rolling in the dough, I might try a box of that just to try something new. You know, you can get the fresh rookies. You know, imagine if 2010-11 Prestige didn't have John Wall in it. You know, I don't know how many people would be buying it or how excited I would be about it, at least from my own perspective. So that's what I liked about Certified. After breaking it and kind of taking a look at what else is out there, even Score Hockey, it's meant, you know, that's a 99-cent product. It's meant, it has a huge base set and some other things in there. So it's not meant to be kind of that one, you know, that kind of big hit product that Certified is and you know, other hockey higher end hockey products are. So that's just kind of my view, kind of taking the early look at the hockey products that are out there. There's going to be tons of great hockey products this season, so it's still early on. I know that Upper Deck came out with, I guess, their version of Exquisite called the Cup Hockey, but I believe that was an 09-10 release. So I'm more referring to the brand new stuff with the brand new NHL guys that I've seen some of the highlights, and I read something, I think, on Taylor Hall and a couple other guys. So I tried to do a little bit of research on hockey. It's slowly but surely, hopefully by the end of the season, I'll be able to bring something to the table with hockey. But at least I know some more names after doing the contest and breaking the box. So that was fun. The Lakers got their rings. It was a really cool ceremony. If you're not a Lakers fan, you don't care. But if you are a Lakers fan, you didn't see it. It was really cool. They invited the players out, obviously, to get their rings. But each player then introduced the next player. So that's really just what I wanted to talk about there. I thought that it's probably been done before, but I hadn't seen the Lakers do it before. And I hadn't seen maybe a professional team do that in public before. So I thought that was really cool. They even gave Ron Artest the microphone in front of like 30,000 people and millions of people watching around the world. So always a risky proposition, but we'll see what happens going forward with the Lakers. The Giants won the World Series, so that might have broken our top segment, but you know, I don't know if I wasn't just really that excited, but you know, they really looked like they were going to do it. It's like baseball is one of those games where if you get hot, it's kind of like football. We often see it in football where a team gets hot late in the season. The Jets kind of caught that wave last season, although they were good most of the season. The Jets really had a nice playoff run late in the season last year, almost made it all the way to the Super Bowl. But you see teams get hot. We've seen the Cardinals get hot, even the Steelers. I mean, that's a great franchise and a very well coached team with a good quarterback and good running backs and stuff. But they've gotten hot and won Super Bowls. I think baseball is very similar. Red Sox have, you know, caught fire. And the Giants, I think, really caught fire right at the end of the season, especially of the pitching. I think Arizona Diamondbacks, it reminds me when the Arizona Diamondbacks won about 10 years ago in the World Series when they had Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson just throwing zeros on the board every night when they pitched. I think, and the Giants had like four guys doing that. We had Matt Cain pitching great. We had Tim Lincecum pitching fairly well for the most part. I think he only had one off game, but he pitched pretty good. Jonathan Sanchez had pitched pretty good too. You know, when I say off games, these guys don't give up, you know, more than three or four runs. So we had some great pitching performance, and we had some timely hitting and some guys make some nice plays. We certainly made some mistakes. The Giants didn't play perfect baseball. They certainly left the door open plenty of time with base running mistakes and throwing errors and other kinds of mistakes and things like that. But and Pat Burrell was really cold at the plate, and it's not like we have those like big hitters that even Texas had and the New York Yankees and teams like that have. We don't have that like consistent 300 hitter, you know, four or five spots in the lineup. You know, if we're lucky to have a guy batting, you know, 240, 250 at the fifth spot. So the Giants really pieced it together. I think they have a lot of room to grow, but this is a team that has a pitching staff that's absolutely sensational. You have a closer, Brian Wilson, you know, minus the beard and all the kind of crazy stuff he says. He gets the job done and he works very hard, and players are motivated by this guy, how hard he works. I know Barry Zito has worked very hard with Brian Wilson in off seasons past and probably will do so again. And Barry Zito is another guy that should be mentioned. You know, here's a pitcher that didn't pitch or play at all in the postseason, but he had a good season for us, a really solid season. And Barry Zito pitched really well actually last season too. And I forgot to mention Madison Bumgarner. This is a guy that might have pitched, you know, as well as anybody other than Matt Cain on our team. So you know, we had so many guys step up, so it was great to see that the Giants were able to take it down. Good to see that prospects that we've talked about. I think we talked about Buster Posey. I have it written down here on my show notes in show number 14. So we're on 66, and I think we mentioned Madison Bumgarner on show number 23. So long time coming for these guys, and it's good to see that they that these prospects have come through the organization. And I don't know if I've said it on the show, but the Giants have a pitching staff that every team in the league, I don't care who you're a fan of, and you'd be lying to say if your team wouldn't trade your whole pitching staff for our pitching staff. And that's something that I don't know has ever happened in baseball, where every team from the Washington Nationals would trade Steven Strasburg and every single other pitcher they'd have for every pitcher that the Giants have on our major league team. The Yankees would do it. The Red Sox would do it. Every single Major League Baseball team would take Matt Cain, Tim Lincecum, Madison Bumgarner, even Barry Zito and his contract. They would take all four of those guys and those are the four best starters in the game, that four lineup. And then our bullpen looked strong, especially late in the season for the Giants. So, I mean, I can't imagine a team having a better bullpen than us, and we probably definitely have the best closer in the game, hands down. So the Giants are set to continue to keep winning. There's going to be players that will want to come to the Giants now The Giants certainly have the money. They've had the money in the past. They do spend the money. I think they have like the ninth highest payroll in the game, or 10th. I think I heard that stat during the World Series. So they certainly spend the money. They certainly have the money. Trust me, the Giants are not broke. They have guys, investors and guys in the background that are some of the richest people in the world. The Giants have plenty of money just because they're paying Barry Zito and guys like Edgar Renteria and Aaron Rowan hundreds and hundreds of million dollars over the course of their contracts. The Giants still have plenty. Even before winning the World, they could have flamed out and not made the World Series. The Giants are still an extremely wealthy organization, and now winning the World Series, probably going to sell out a tremendous amount of games, if not all of them, next year. Look for the Giants to make some moves this postseason, or try to make some moves in the postseason. So it was exciting to see the Giants win. We are just going to roll right into our next segment. This comes from, pretty sure he's a fan forum member, Neil Buckeye. I'm pretty sure that's his fan forum. I know he's a fan forum member. I'm pretty sure his name is Neil Buckeye, but I got this email from him. He talked about this company. I'm not sure how you pronounce their name, but M-E-I Gray. It might be My Gray or Me Gray auctions, or not auctions, but they certify jerseys from the NHL and the NBA. I've taken a look a lot at their NBA, but he talked about that they had these grab bags a while back. I actually looked on their site. I didn't see them. I might have not have looked in the right places, but he talked about, I think they had hockey grab bags where you could pay a certain amount of money, and they had some jerseys that they would, and these are full game-worn jerseys, and this company is known for being kind of the authority. In fact, I think they have a deal with the NBA, and they're auctioning off some of the game-worn. In fact, all of the jerseys worn during the first game of the NBA season, including like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and stuff like that, are being auctioned off on NBA.com, auctions.nba.com. And I'm looking at the Kobe Bryant, and it's at $3,300, and it has 21 bids. And so that's pretty interesting. So Sasha Vujacic is at $270. And these all end, it looks like, in about a week or so. And Lamar Odom is at $300. They have a warm-up shirt from Rodney Stuckey. It's at $50, and it has one bid. So I can imagine, I'm guessing NBA teams are actually like Tops and Upper Deck and those kind of companies, they probably have some deals, but these kind of things, man, I don't know. I'd be curious to see if they get on these auctions and try to bid on some of these things, because for a company like that, you know, yeah, $3,000 for a game-worn Kobe jersey is a lot of money. But some of the other players might go for, you know, several hundred dollars. So that's pretty cool. So if you're a big spender, you know, hey, and you want some game-worn jerseys, if I was a big spender, this is the kind of stuff I would buy. I was checking out the company website, and they have jerseys, you know, affordably priced, obviously kind of lesser-known player. I put that in quotes because if you're the NBA, you're a superstar in my eyes. But you can get a jersey of just about, you know, a 13th, 12th man in the NBA for, you know, $300, $350, and you can get a guy you've definitely heard of and sees a lot of playing time in the $400 and $500 range. Obviously, when you're talking about the superstars of the NBA, even guys like Lamar Odom, guys on the Lakers and guys on the Heat and things like that, more recognizable teams, you're paying a lot more. Boston Celtics teams as well, you're paying a lot of money, maybe a couple $1,000 for very, very well-known players. But, you know, a couple $100, several, you know, mid-$100, $500, $600 range, yeah, you can get a nice piece from these companies, and they run deals, and they have the grab bags, and so hopefully we'll try to keep you alert of those kind of things. If I had more money, I definitely would like to have a game used jersey collection, where you get one and you find a good framer. It costs you a lot of money to frame them or figure out a way to frame them yourself. Even the materials would cost you a decent amount of money, but it would be fun to have that problem to be able to display those on the wall. So I think that would be fun. So I wanted to throw that in there, and I guess that's about it for this segment. I think I talked about just about everything I wanted to talk about in that segment. Don't forget, we have 6 Hobby Box contests. Let me emphasize, we haven't done 6 in maybe the last 3 months. So to have six in the next 2 weeks, not to mention the qual, we're talking over 600, probably about, maybe it's about $400 or $500 worth of boxes here. I know a Crown Royal football box retails at $100. Limited basketball retails at $100. I think Score Hockey's a $30 or $40 box, but Bowman Chrome was around $50. Tops Chrome's around $40 or $50, and Tops Update Baseball's around $40 or $50. So some nice, you know, not that price really matters, but we've got some nice quality boxes. We're going to be all doing them here really soon. So head on over to the fan forum while we take this break and enter into the contest. I'm sure there'll be one or two up while you're listening to this, if you're listening to it when it comes out. If you're not, if you're listening to this a couple months, a couple weeks after it comes out, hey, still head on over there. You know, hey, maybe Panini will still love us. Maybe someone else will still love us. And, you know, I always have a little bit of extra money to throw down on some boxes. So we'll always have a contest going every couple weeks, every couple days, over the next couple days. So check out the fan forum. We'll be back after this. Time to do what they call wrap two segments into one. We're going to have our question of the day, where we ask our fan forum members, besides Bryce Harper and Aroldis Chapman, what 2011 rookie prospect I have faith in? So who's next year's Steven Strasburg? Who's next year's maybe a better, you know, I think Bryce Harper and Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis Chapman is probably next year's Steven Strasburg. Not that his cards are going to go for $25,000 or anything like that, although it's possible. He does play for the Reds, which I think is a far more collectible team than and more recognizable team than the Nationals. And that's not to hate on the Nationals. If you're a fan of that team, you know, hey, man, I'm a fan of the Bengals. Trust me, we suck this year. We've always sucked, at least why I've rooted for them. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Anytime anybody messes on my team, it only makes me love them more. And Bryce Harper, who knows with this kid? He's really young. I think he's only like 19 or 20, so I don't think he's very old. So who knows if he'll even get a shot, but if he makes big noise in the minor leagues and stuff like that, people are going to pay attention, and people are going to start to, I mean, his cards are going to start to move up. But, you know, still, again, with Bryce Harper, you know, there's still a percentage of fans that really don't know. You know, Steven Strasburg's been around on the collector radar since 2008, and here we are almost into 2011, and a lot of collectors just found out about him or jumped on the bandwagon this year. You know, we talked about him in 2009, so this is a guy, I think, in like February or March of 2009. So you know, Bryce Harper, we're talking about him right now. I might be saying 2 years from now, when he's hitting 40 home runs in the major leagues and, you know, his cards are worth hundreds of dollars, you know, hey, we were talking about him a couple years ago. So we'll see. But, you know, guys like Starlin Castro that kind of came up, everybody knew about Buster Posey, Madison Bumgarner, but they were kind of quote-unquote old because their rookie cards were 2 or 3 years old at that point, and everybody was spending money on Jason Hayward's and things like that that were still kind of fresh. Even Jason Hayward cards were kind of quote-unquote old, but it's amazing how fresh you get when you get that major league debut and you're on SportsCenter and things like that. It's amazing how much your cards can go up. You know, even if you're tearing up, even if Bryce Harper's tearing up the minor leagues, it won't be until he makes that debut into the big leagues when you really see that big push up. So we'll see what happens. You know, I remember Jay Bruce, you know, a handful of years ago was supposed to be this big bopper, and not that he hasn't turned into a decent player, but if you don't hit for average and you don't do everything, you know, just hitting home runs is not really that desirable in the MLB anymore, unless you're hitting a lot of them. Unless you're hitting like 50 or 60, then yes, you will get lots of attention no matter what your batting average is. But we'll talk about that in a second. Tops baseball to kind of flash back. This is like kind of the whole mirror segment where we're going to talk about 1971 Topps baseball, and then we'll jump right into 2011. 30 years later, we'll talk about 2011 baseball rookies. So might be kind of fun. Topps baseball, I put up this a while back. Kind of wanted to go through some of the older sets, since so many of the cards these days are being mimicked on that. I know 2011 Topps Heritage, I actually put that checklist up yesterday, so that's up there, the full checklist. There's only a handful of to be announced, so it's almost the full thing. You might want to take a look at that. Lots of pictures. There's some cards with some 1962 actual coins, U.S. coins in there, so I thought those were pretty cool, and there's some variations with like pennies and nickels and dimes, and so those are pretty cool, so you might want to take a look at that. I was taking a look at that set's mimicked after 1962 Topps, I believe. So eventually they're going to mimic 1971 Topps, and I read on one blog that it says that the 1971 Topps set is actually interesting. It's known mainly for its black border and being very condition sensitive set, but it does have some kind of landmark historic things for Topps. It was the first time, at least according to this blog, that a player's portrait was used on the reverse side of the card, and it was the first time that Topps used action pictures for some of the regular issues cards, as opposed to reserving action photography for just World Series playoff and quote-unquote special cards. So you saw some in-action shots of guys instead of just like headshots and things like that, although most of the examples that I've seen are for the most part like kind of those stock, like the guy's like posing and you can tell he has like a cheesy grin. You know, a guy never throws to first and is like smiling, except for Pablo Sandoval. He's always like blowing a bubble and things like that. Will Clark used to do that too. But I read this interesting review on eBay from this seller, Whole Lotta Lumps, and he wrote a really nice review. It's pretty top ranking. You'll be able to find it if you're on that site. But I kind of paraphrase some of it. He's noted that there's some cards that are extremely hard to find in good condition, mainly because the card were printed much like today, but in series, in kind of waves. And so if there was something wrong with just, you know, maybe the sheet was put in there kind of off center, or the cuts weren't just done right. So a whole print run of cards are, for the most part, will be, you know, almost impossible to find in good condition. So this seller said, it's very hard to find Claude Raymond cards, number 536. He says a centered one is, he says it literally does not exist. So I'd be interested to see if anybody does find one. And a Jim Lonborg card number 577 is a very difficult card to find centered as well. And I put up two pictures of two very off-centered ones. It is very hard to find off-centered. And one card that I don't know, I guess this is the variation. I'm pretty sure I found the two pictures of this is very interesting. You want to go to our website. Whole Lotta Lumps doesn't have it on his review. You might not have been able to find the cards, or you might not be able to do it on an eBay review, but I found two separate cards. Number 583, excuse me. This is 1971 Topps baseball. Card number 583, Ron Cook. He claims that there's a variation. This is the first time I've heard of this, and maybe vintage card collectors are, you know, you probably know about this already, but maybe casual people like me, you might not know about this, but he says there's a variation where it appears that Ron Cook, it looks like he's done throwing a pitch. He's a pitcher, and the picture of him is he's done throwing a pitch, and there's a picture I have on the left where his eyes appear to be pointing upward toward the sky, almost toward the bill of his hat. And then I have another picture right to the right, exact same card, but he's it appears his eyes are peering straight ahead. So he notes that that's actually a variation and that those are two different kind of cards. I found that the one that he's looking straight up is more common. The one where he's looking right at you seems to be a little bit harder to find. And he claims that card number 133, Mickey Lolich, He says the same thing. There's variations where the eyes are pointing to the sky, and then the eyes are pointed more towards you or toward the front of the card. So interesting. If you want to take a look at that, you can. If you go to sportscardradio.com on our homepage, we have a little search box. You can type in 1971 Topps Checklist, or you can find the product previews in the top menu bar or on the front page. There's like a green little checkbox on the right-hand side. You'll be able to find that. It's also on the left-hand side. I try to make it easily accessible. It's also in the sports card directory. You can find all our checklists in there as well. So I thought that was interesting, the Ron Cook, where I did actually think I found the card where he was looking up at the sky, and then I found another one where he's looking more at you. So interesting. You know, you got to be a big set collector. You've got to have had, you know, 20 or 30 Ron Cook duplicates sitting around to be able to notice something like that. A very keen eye this seller had. So I wanted to put that up there and give him credit. None of this, excuse me, I've had two coughs in this show. I apologize about that. So I just wanted to throw that out there, give credit where credit was due, and share that with you guys, because I know these things on the internet, and I don't give too big of a hoot if I take somebody's information, but I do try to give them credit. So that's a whole lot of lumps on eBay. I don't know how reputable a seller he is or if he even sells anymore, but he did do a nice review and pointed something out about 1971 Topps baseball that I didn't know. I actually, another interesting story, I think I might have told this on the show before, but I don't know if I did or not, but back several years ago when I had my card store, actually not several years ago, it's only a handful of years ago now, I was actually going through and looking through my old sales book a couple days ago, so glad I'm not in that business anymore, although the seasonal peaks were very nice. But a couple years ago, I had people would come in all the time and try to sell cards and things like that. And I had this couple come in one time, and they obviously didn't know anything about baseball cards, really. They handed me this binder, and it had like nothing in it. I was flipping through it, and it didn't seem like it had a whole lot in it. And so they said, you know, would you buy these? And I was like, it's really worth almost nothing. You know, there was some Michael Jordans. I remember that. There was like a page or two of Michael Jordans, just your common like 1990s. I mean, they definitely have some value. And I think I ended up selling them on eBay for a little something. I probably grouped them with some other ones I had. So, but I said, you know, it's not really worth a whole lot. And they were like, oh, we're just looking for some gas money, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you come in like that, I'll give you a dollar or two. But that, you know, they offered me a binder. So I said, I'll give you $5. So I gave him $5 for the binder, and I was going through pulling out all the cards and things like that, and there was a 1971 Topps Nolan Ryan card in there. So I think it books for like, I don't know, $200 or something, card number 513. On the Sports Card Focus podcast, I'm sure there'll be people that'll talk more about the Beckett values and things like that. I think I ended up selling it for like maybe $30 or $40, but I think there was a 1972 Topps Nolan Ryan 2 in there, so I ended up getting two early 1970 Nolan Ryan's cards for $5 along with some Michael Jordan. So I ended up making out very, very well on that deal. So I never typically bought cards as a card store owner. If you ever owned a card store or ever worked in a card store, that is like your worst nightmare. People coming in and trying to sell stuff, or people calling in on the phone and trying to sell things. I was always as professional and friendly as possible, because you never know if they might turn around and buy something, but it was always frustrating, especially toward the end when the economy got bad. I was literally having more people coming in trying to sell me something than buy me something. It really got frustrating at that point, because I was like, I have no money. I can't buy, even if you came in here with a Michael Jordan autographed rookie card or whatever for $20 that was legit, I wouldn't be able to afford it because I wasn't selling anything myself. So I thought that was funny. So just thought we'd talk a little bit about vintage cards. We'll definitely do more so as the shows go on, especially when we have shows like this, when I don't feel like talking about anything new. We were going to talk about Bowman Chrome baseball, and we will, but I'm going to wait until we bust a box. I'm just going to wait until I actually have, you know, I haven't done that before, actually open the box and then kind of reviewed it on the show. So we'll do that. Now we're going to jump into our question of the day, where it's what prospect in 2011 do you have faith in? And the rancher comes in and he says, I trust Mike Stanton the most. He's a very talented player who will get his chance to start on a young team down in Florida. So Mike Stanton, yeah, I know a lot of people are very impressed with him. His physique, not that I'm checking out, I've mentioned two people's physiques. I can't remember the first one, but Jason Hayward, I think. Not that I check out players' physiques on a regular basis, but that does have a lot to do with it. Guys build and things like that. Not that Mike Stanton's overly big, but he just has a stance and the way he carries himself. To me, looks like a professional. He looks like a professional at the plate. I know that he looks like he can hit very well, and I think he's like a 5-tool talent. So I think he's a very good one to look forward to. I think he was on the radar. He was inserted into some products late this season, and I think he's definitely on the radar next season as maybe a guy that really, really breaks through and gets a lot of attention. Topps Kid comes in here. Forgive me, I have not read any of these, or I've kind of maybe briefly scanned them, so I might mess up on some of these. Topps Kid comes in here and says, Mike Trout of the Angels is the next Uber prospects you'll be hearing about. The kid is only 19, and he turned it in August, so yeah, he just turned 19, man. And this is Mike Trout, T-R-O-U-T, and this comes from Topps Kid on our sportscardradio.com fan forum. And he has a mixture of speed, defense, projected power. He will be a major force in American League for years. He will probably begin the 2011 season in Double A, but should be on the fast track to the majors. Don't be surprised to see him in Anaheim by the end of the 2011 season. Wow. I also like Freddie Freeman of the Braves. Freeman will be given the first base job next year, and he's next in line of great homegrown Braves. He projects to have more power than Hayward, although he won't be the hitter Hayward should become. Look for Freddie to hit 15 to 20 home runs his rookie season. His first MLB home run came off Roy Halladay this September, and he plays a gold glove caliber first base. So there's Freddie Freeman. Those are two excellent call-outs, two guys. Freddie Freeman I've heard out. Mike Trout I've not heard of. Mike, T-R-O-U-T, got a very nice recommendation, very well explained by Topps Kid from our fan forum, sportscardradio.com. Appreciate that. Thank you, fan forum member Topps Kid. Harry Lemon, the lucky winner, and I'm glad he received his Jimmy Clausen autographed rookie card. So congratulations again. He says, Jeremy Hellickson, this is the guy I remember talking about on show number 46, I think it was our baseball prospect show. In his brief spell with the Rays this year, Hellickson showed he can pitch with the big boys. Look for him to be part of the Rays rotation about May 2011. I remember that he would start on a... I'm pretty sure this was what I said about Hellickson, or what I read about him, was that he would start on a lot of other teams, or would be getting more of an opportunity on a lot of other teams. But the Rays obviously have David Price, and they have a number of other very quality pitchers in that lineup. And then the Rays might be one team that might, you know, could put up, if all their guys are pitching pretty good. You know, the lineup, the four guys that the Giants put up there every night are pretty good too. So the Rays are really, I think, maybe 1-2 right there with the Giants in terms of the Topps pitching staffs. As far as I know, they might be losing people, or maybe guys are, I am not 100% sure on the contract status, but I know the Rays have a very good starting rotation, especially if they can't get Jeremy Hellickson in there. He has pitched well, I believe, in the minor leagues, pretty much everywhere he's went, and he's pitched well in the major leagues when he's gotten his chance. So that is definitely a guy that I think you can pick up still fairly affordable. Jesus Montero from the Yankees, he's a catching prospect. Looks for him to be called up at some point in 2011. Posada's agent, aging fast, excuse me, I thought that said agent. Posada is aging fast, and Cervelli is too well-liked by the fans, is not too well too well liked by the fans. I'm not familiar with the backup catcher in New York, but typically the young prospects always are fan favorites. And I can imagine the Yankees, they're probably hungry for some homegrown talent. So Jesus Montero, I have heard the name, so we'll see if he's able to break through for the Yankees. Sorry about this audio clip an edit right here. I actually had my mic go out on me right as I was in the middle of that last sentence. So this is a kind of a cluster show where I've had some coughs and things like that, and I just had my mic pull out. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering what the heck happened to the flow of the show, I had my mic pull out right as I was describing Harry Lemon's last process. Mike Moustakas of the Kansas City Royals. I have no idea how to say that last guy's name. I forgot. My pronunciation skills have totally left me. He's in the minor leagues. 2010, Moose hit 322, 36 home runs, and 124 RBIs, and he's 21 years old, and he's a shortstop third baseman. So there's a nice prospect for the Royals. Next one, steals second, agrees with the Mike Moustakas prediction. I'm not sure how to say that guy's last name. Miami 6 comes in here. This was when the Giants was still in the World Series, and so he's rooting them on, so I appreciate that. Baseball Nut says, I think the Rangers are done, and Matt Cage continues to pitch his scoreless innings streak. So yeah, he did. I think he did continue that as the season goes on. So next prospect we have from 82 Redbergs. He says, well, I don't know if I have the most faith in him, but he has the best chance of being successful is Cardinals prospect Shelby Miller. And he might work his way up to the big leagues. Shelby is a left-handed pitcher currently hurtling for the Quad City River Bandits. What a great name, he says. Miller is 19 years old. He had an ERA of 3.62 in 104 innings pitch. 104. I thought I said 140. That would be a lot. 104 innings pitch with 140 strikeouts. So he pitched 104 innings, and he had 140 strikeouts and only 33 walks and a whip of 124. I'm putting all the emphasis on all that. I think those are tremendous stats. For all you stat nerds, that's an average of 12 Ks per 9 innings pitch. Like I said, I don't follow all the prospects very closely, but an average of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings seems pretty impressive to me. From what I've read, he has 3 pitches, fastball, curveball, and changeup, and he needs to work on his command. I'll be keeping an eye on him. So that was Shelby Miller of the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's pitching for the Quad City River Bandits. So, wow, tremendous. Looks like a tremendous stat line that he had last season. So definitely will be keeping an eye on him. Let me go to our next page here, find our next prospect. Stadium Club Collector comes in and says, I think Dominic Brown will be a solid major leaguer, but he will start right away. And he agrees with some of our early selections, the Moose, Montero, and Daniel Hudson. Pedro Alvarez, SWATKO4, one of our newest members, comes in and says Pedro Alvarez. So he believes in him, believes he'll come and have an even better season next season. T-MAG-D comes in and says, I don't really follow prospects, but I've been hearing good thing about a Giants prospect, so I think I should mention him here. Brandon Belt, from what I have read, he has had an outstanding year blasting through the Giants minor league organization. In 2010, he hit 352 with 173 hits, 112 RBIs, and 23 home runs. The Giants had a great couple of rookies the last few years, and it looks like they'll continue that trend. And he says, congratulations to the Giants. So this was after they won. Brandon Belt, I think my brother was watching a card of his a while back. I think I just mentioned him by name on the show a while back. I can't remember when it was, but it was. I remember it was when I was living at my last place, so it was a couple months ago. But I mentioned him because there was rumors that he might get called up to the Giants this season, but we signed Cody Ross, and we got Pat Burrell, and we got some other guys filling in, and some other guys like Buster Posey stepping up on a daily basis. So it kind of put him on the back burner. We'll see. I think there's probably going to be room in the Giants lineup for him maybe next season. I think he'll definitely get invited to the training camp and spring training and things like that, and it'll be up to him to see if he makes this team. But as we saw with the Giants, neither Buster Posey or Madison Bumgarner made the team to begin the season. But both were, if we didn't have either one of those guys, take either one, and especially both out of our lineup and our pitching staff, in the World Series and in the playoffs and late in the season, and we would not have made it. So guys can come on strong and make a huge impact late. So we'll see what happens to Brandon next year. But definitely a guy my brother has kept an eye on, and that's where I've heard of him before. And T-MAC-D catching up on Brandon Belt. I actually looked at his cards a couple days ago, and they're expensive. People pay good money for him. So people are paying good money. People are wondering when the next show is on the next couple threads. So I think we had maybe one more prospect. Yeah, Paw75 made his first post. So good to have you make your first post and actually contribute to the show. So really appreciate that. Paw75 says, Dustin Ackley is who I have my eye on. So and Roland Niles didn't want me to talk about the Lakers. Said, do we have to talk about the Lakers? Well, we didn't have to talk about them that much. So there we go. That's our question of the day. Sorry about the break in the middle. I have my wire kind of running and just kind of pulled out on me. There's actually, it connects in like three different places. So I try to like anchor it down. Sometimes it doesn't work. So sorry about that. Have to do some editing in this show. This show's going to take longer to edit than it actually is long. Although this show ends up being a little bit longer than I thought it was. We have a little bit longer to go. We'll take a very short break right now. We'll come back for a very quick segment and to break it out of here right after this.
How do you do? They really sing babies cry and I watch them grow, they'll learn much more than we'll know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Someday I wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like a lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find.
Final segment to the show. I actually was planning to have this show up probably last week or toward the tail end of last week, but had a friend actually pass away, and unfortunately she actually took her own life, and I don't think that's too serious of a subject to talk about on this show, because as I learned this week, it can happen to anybody, and it can happen to people that have everything going for them, not only being young, and she was younger than I was, and I'm 28 years old, so you can imagine the pain and the shock for her family. She was pretty, you know, she was tall, she was smart, she was going to school, she already had her college degree, and she was getting an advanced degree. She had a wonderful family. I probably worked and knew her mom better than I actually knew her. Spent a year working at the same place as her mom. So, and her family had always been extremely inviting to me in my years that I spent living there. And so it really, you know, it was tough seeing her family probably more than anything. You know, I accepted my friend's decision. And I always tell people in life, I don't know if I've said it on the show, but the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten in life is always be yourself. And always, you know, if you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation, I try to do that on this podcast when I make mistakes and cough and forget people's names and forget how to pronunciate things. You know, on the surface, maybe I'm making a fool of myself, but, you know, honestly, I'm just being myself the whole time, and I don't really mind putting myself out there like that. So I think that's number one, always be yourself. But number two is always make decisions for yourself, and always, even if they're difficult for other people to handle and difficult for other people to adjust to, always make decisions for yourself. And that's not to say the decision that my friend made was an easy one, or one that she probably had hundreds of people that she could have talked to. You know, as I'm finding out more, you know, psychological things and psychological conditions are sometimes hard to identify on the surface. Sometimes someone seems perfectly great and everything seems great, but you know, the mind is a very complex thing, and the brain is a very complex you know, piece of, I don't know, tissue, I guess it is, but it does so many things. Our brain, we barely use, I don't know if this is right, but we barely use, you know, 10% of our brain's capacity. We can, if we used 100% of our brain's capabilities, our humans could do probably some incredible things we can't even imagine at this point. So I'm learning about that kind of stuff, and it was a difficult week, but I guess to maybe kind of, you know, round it out into kind of the program that we do here. You know, if you ever have tough times in life, certainly I've gone through tough times, both, you know, emotionally, but, you know, a lot of times financially, because a lot of times financially, if you're going through tough times financially, you can't pay bills, or you have to borrow money, or you have to, you know, figure out a way to make things work, or you have to sell things that you didn't want to sell, or whatever, or go to do jobs you didn't want to do, or whatever. You know, luckily I'm blessed to not really be in that position right now. But it wasn't too long ago where I was, and, you know, sometimes those things really take a toll on you. But the thing, you know, you know, you always have family, you always have friends. There's always people that care about you, even if you think that nobody does, even if you think you don't have that many friends. There's always people out there that definitely care about you, and there's always people you can go to. And there's even people like me. If you listen to the show and you've never emailed me, or even if, you know, you feel like you, you know me a lot better than I know you, which is definitely probably the case with most of you out there. But it doesn't mean I don't appreciate you. You know, I appreciate every single person that takes the time to just type in sportscardradio.com, let alone listen to an hour podcast. So I'm someone, my email box is always open, sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can always email me. I'm going to have a phone in, a telephone number that I'm not going to answer. I will say that I won't, you can ring and ring and ring. I won't answer, but you can leave me a message. And maybe if it's a serious message, you can leave me your phone number. I'm not going to play your phone number on the show, but you know, you have friends out there, just you know. But my friend was probably in the total rare example. She had hundreds of friends, I mean literally, and she had a great family. You know, her family actually reminds me a lot of my own family. So this girl was given every opportunity, so it definitely showed me that you know, psychological things and things that go on in your head are very serious issues and various serious things that can happen to people. And so you always want to be mindful of that, not only with yourself, but with your friends as well. And so I learned that as well this week, that you want to be mindful of those kind of things. Not that if I was... that it would have changed anything. Like I said, I totally accept my friend's decision. I feel horrible for her family and her friends and the people that were really, really close to her. But, you know, in the end, I know that she's in a good place, and she's where she wants to be. And there's nothing more I could ask. Nothing more I could ask for my friend from that. So just wanted to talk about that. It was a tough week. Learned a lot about just a lot of different things, and probably will continue to learn things as I go on. So I want to thank my friend for giving me that gift. It was a tough lesson to learn, but I definitely felt like it was one that at this point I'm sad to have gone through it, but now that I can't change anything, I'm grateful to have kind of gone through this experience and learned these kind of things, and we'll still kind of reflect on these things. So, you know, take the time today, you know, as we're looking at cards and we're trying to figure out which ones to buy, what prospects are going to be good next year, what cards are going to go up and make us some money or not lose us a bunch of money, as you know, if I'm buying cards is usually the case. You know, take the time, you know, friends that are there for you a lot, you know, let them know that you appreciate it. I tried to do that this weekend. I saw some people that maybe I hadn't, that knew I appreciated the opportunities they had given me, but maybe I hadn't communicated it to them quite as clearly as I wanted to. So I'm trying to make a point to do that. Definitely make a point to let all of you know that I certainly appreciate you listening to not only this show, but visiting our website, entering our contest. You know, I certainly appreciate that. I often get thanked for the contest, but there would be no contest if nobody would enter. You know what I mean? If I had, lots of times people have entered. We've had 30 people enter for like a $15 box and things like that. Now we've got $100 boxes. We've got several $100 boxes to give away this week. So really excited, and I really thank all of you for getting involved in that, and it's really important. You know, when we get sponsored boxes, if we get 45, 50 people to sign up, hey, that looks pretty good, and it lets the companies know that, you know, people support what we're trying to do here. So I appreciate you supporting what we're doing here. We try to return the favor to all of you. That about wraps it up today. Hopefully you've enjoyed this show. Not quite what we typically do. If this is the first time you listen to this show, this isn't quite what we typically do. These are kind of once every maybe five or six shows where we kind of just kind of talk about a little bit of everything, although I kind of like these shows. They're kind of fun. You probably get more insight into a broader spectrum of things than you typically do when we're just talking about products and the latest stuff. So that about wraps it up. We'll have another show shortly. Again, keep an eye on for Sports Card Focus as well. I actually have that domain, so don't think you can go get sportscardfocus.com. I have that. It's just not set up. Don't go there yet. You'll be able to find all the shows on Sports Card Radio to begin with, as well as several other outlets. It'll take us a week to get onto iTunes, but I will have the downloads available right away and let you know when we're up on iTunes and things like that. I'm sure you'll find that out before me. So you have two podcasts going forward. Hopefully I get enough contributors. If you do want to contribute, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. That wraps it up today, guys. Hopefully everything's going good for you. We're out of here.